I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We gonna go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
You're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official UK podcast for the Seattle Seahawks. Here are your hosts, Ross Bell, Stuart Court, and Adam Nathan. Go Hawks!
Welcome back to the Pedestrian Podcast, still the one, only, an official UK Seahawks podcast this week. With roster cutdowns coming this weekend, we will go through just who we think will make the 53-man roster for the first week of the season, at least. But also, we will dive into some of the big news that broke earlier in the week surrounding one of the more established Seahawks starters. To do that, I am joined by one of the other two in the Pedestrian Podcast trios, Mr. Ross Bell. How are we, sir?
Yeah, good, mate. It does seem that all three of us can never be on a podcast together anymore.
No, it's like a weird Beetlejuice. Like, we've never all been in the same room together. Obviously, in Nottingham, it was me and you. At the AGM, it was me and Adam. So it's when it happens, something, maybe the world will end. Maybe,
yeah, possibly.
Maybe that's what will happen. But yeah, as I said, there's some possibly relatively could be not quite sure what when we're recording it, news, big news coming down the pipe from Seattle. It all started with a tweet from ESPN's Diana Russini late last night in England, early evening in America, saying that the Seahawks are actively trying to trade sixth year wide receiver, former Washington Husky, an undrafted free agent for the Seahawks, Jermaine Kearse. Before we dive into the what's money and all that side of it, what were your initial thoughts when you saw that, Ross?
Initially, probably shock more than anything, because I thought by this point, I just assumed that Kearse was a lock to make the roster and we were going to go with him as the number three or number four guy, a wide receiver, because it seems an odd time to try and trade him the day before the, well, 2 days before the cutdowns.
Yeah, it's pretty much the worst time to try and get any value for a player when there's like 1,000 players set in the market in 48, 72 hours. But yeah, I think like on this podcast, we're like 30 odd episodes in, we do, myself and Adam more than possibly Ross, but we do always laugh and joke about the sometimes inept play from Seahawks number 15, Jermaine Kearse. But it is a surprise to see that it might actually happen. You say sometimes you do say stuff like that. Well, just say it because it will never happen, kind of thing.
Yeah. On the back of last year's performance, I mean, fair enough, trade him because he was appalling for most of the season. But I don't know. Like we said before we start recording, it's odd to imagine the season starting without 15 on the field.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very strange because it appears that his days are most certainly numbered in Seattle. But yeah, it will be very strange. And as I said to Adam over WhatsApp or Twitter yesterday, for all the dragging we do, obviously, but as Seahawks fans do on Jermaine Kearse, his catch, the 4th and 7th touchdown catch against the Niners championship game, which gave us a lead we never then lost. It's one of the moments up after the Beast Quake, which started it all. So it will be an end of a sort of weird love-hate era. But he's a local kid. He went to UW. He's one of the undrafted stories. Obviously, we always talk about Doug Baldwin being undrafted and that. But Jermaine Kearse is right there behind him. I mean, in his 5 seasons in Seattle, Jermaine Kearse has 153 catches, 2,100 yards, and 11 touchdowns. Most of them, admittedly, coming in December and January.
Yeah.
But when you're a Seahawk who have been a perennial contender in those 5 years, it's not a bad time to produce, I guess, is it, Ross?
No, not really. I mean, you need every kind of quarterback has a go-to guy and in the tight spots. And if it's not Baldwin, Kearse has been that guy. And it'll just be really weird to see him, if he does get traded to, say, the Jets, to see him trying to catch balls from Christian Hackenberg or Josh McCown while he's on the field. It's just like he's a Seahawks player. And I suppose this is going to be weird for us seeing Lynch playing for someone else as well. These are the guys that are part of this run. And
yeah,
you kind of want them to just finish their career as Seahawks. But football's a brutal game. on and off.
Yeah. Yeah, but as you mentioned earlier, through the 5 years, last year was easily the worst of the lot. He had 89 targets in 2016 with just 41 catches. He had about 17 offensive pass interference called on him as well, and then he caught one touchdown. As you say, it's in the league where it is sometimes, what have you done for me lately, the answer for Curse was not a lot, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, he got overtaken by him. I mean, he was at least fourth.
Fourth by the year, yeah.
Progressions. Yeah. For most games, and that's without including running backs breaking out of the backfield as well. That's a slight. I mean, he's never put up immense numbers, but
no.
Been a clutch guy to go to and had some big moments as a Seahawk. But if we move on, there's someone else going to take his roster spot, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's another element and a layer to the surprise that we actually are trying to train him or cut him. It would probably end up being at this point. Because apart from Kaysom Williams, who was really good through the first 2 weeks of preseason, kind of had a so-so game against the Chiefs and limited snaps, which tells you a lot about his status in the team. No one else has really stepped up at wide receiver. Obviously, JD McKissick's been flittering out there, but I think he's going to be the return guy, and I think if you're making a move to trade Jermaine Kearse, you can fit in JD McKissick, and that's failing somewhere. But apart from that, obviously, you've got David Moore, the rookie, who's shown glimpses, but possibly could be someone you'd be able to stash on the practice squad.
Yeah.
You've got Tanner McAvoy, who, yeah, he caught the touchdown last week, but that was in the fourth quarter in the third preseason game, so that possibly says a lot for where he is in the depth chart. And there's Amara Darboh, who the camp and off-season and all that, the pre-season training and pre-season games started with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and Doug Baldwin talking about how special he could be. He's done absolutely nothing because he either hasn't been healthy or he just hasn't had the target. So it's when you match all that with the fact that you're going to trade the second longest tenured, as you said, the most number two target at this point 12 months ago, it's for two rookies and a guy who could be just a returner. It's quite interesting to see how the 53 could shake out without Jermaine Kearse, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to leave you, I mean, looking at probably, if you take Kearse out of there, the five almost guarantees are going to be Baldwin, Lockett, Richardson, Darboh and Williams. I mean, that's Baldwin and Lockett and your boy P. Rich, who's, it's fair to say, injury prone, and Lockett's going off a massive injury himself. That's a lot of pressure on Baldwin.
Yeah, it might add something to the fact that we maybe see Jimmy Graham line up in different ways this year. But at the same time, there are only three tight ends unless Steve Donatel makes a team, which is seeming very unlikely.
Yeah.
Without Kearse, it will be strange. But in case this is the podcast before he is released, let's just go through some of the moments that he has had with the commentary from Steve Rabel.
Careful. Russell in the pocket. Russell for Kearse, and it's broken up again. And is it? But somehow, did he wind up with a football?
I think Butler hit it, and it fell right back down to the ground. Unbelievable. That's exactly what happened, isn't it?
Well, Kearse goes for it. It's still not on the ground. Well, look at that.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he didn't get up and get in the end zone in time.
And then Butler takes him out. So he breaks up the play. But at the end of the day, look at that. Does a juggling act. Has it at the five, first and goal, 33 yards.
Lynch in the backfield in a pistol formation. Wide receivers to either side. Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl in Glendale. What a catch in the end zone. It is Kearse, 35 yards. A long game for Jermaine. And he makes the game-winning reception in the end zone. They are going nuts at CenturyLink.
Flag is thrown. It's a free play. Into the end zone. The pass caught. Carlos Rogers
is in a great position to make a play.
Right, moving on, before we look into what me and myself and Ross think the 53-man will look like with and without Curse, because as we say, as we record, we still don't know how that is playing out. We'll just look ahead quickly to tonight's game. We are recording this on a Thursday, well, tomorrow morning's game if you're in England, or the UK, against the Oakland Raiders. Obviously, the fourth preseason game, you can expect very little of Sherman, Wilson, Baldwin, and the rest of the starters. But what are you expecting to see, and what do you want to see from this game, Ross?
I want to see Boykin look like an NFL quarterback, because I know he got a lot of abuse for the six passes, no completions apart from one interception against the Chiefs. But he's looked like he can play, and we've seen him play in season last year and flashes during this preseason as well. I just want him to look like an assured guy under centre, because as much as we've ragged on Austin Davis, he's looked all right when he's come in. He's moving nicely in the pocket, and he's throwing some nice balls. So I want Boykin to firmly establish himself as the number two. I think he's already kind of guaranteed to be it, but show us something tonight.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just completely dismissed him after last week. Yeah, 0-6 with an interception isn't the way to stake a claim, but I'm pretty certain that half a quarter's work is not going to outweigh all the work he's put in over the off season and all the work he put in to improve as he did from one appearance to the other. Yeah. Last season, and he's much more of a better fit at quarterback if anything does happen to Wilson than Austin Davis. And Austin, yeah, Davis, while he looked sharp, you have to remember who that was against.
Well,
they were against players who were going to be in the CFL in a couple of weeks, or arena football in a couple of days. So it all needs that bit of context. But and as Pete Carroll said after the game, everything got out of whack on both sides of the ball at that point of the game. And that's something that's on the coaches, and it seems to be something that they're fully aware of and are working through to not make sure it doesn't happen tonight and obviously going forward. But obviously the game will be a bit of a weird one, could be a bit more of a spectacle than a preseason week 4 game is with Marshawn Lynch. That's going to be very strange, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not prepared to see him playing NFL football for another team. It still hurts. Like Adam said, it's like an ex-girlfriend that you're looking at on Facebook. You're going to see her out in public this time.
Yeah.
I don't like it. We're probably also going to see Alex Collins' last ever runs as a Seahawk tonight.
Yeah. See, that Alex Collins is the name I expected to see that we were trying to trade this week, but
yeah,
never mind.
He's put some stuff on tape last year. He looked all right.
Yeah.
Spells. He also looked like he can fumble the ball quite easily. Well,
a few weeks ago on the podcast, I did stick my neck out on the line a little bit with a hot take that Eddie Lacy might not be long for the Seahawks. The two or three weeks since then, he's done very little to prove me wrong. That hot take is more lukewarm now, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah, definitely. Especially with the news that I saw on my fantasy app yesterday that him and Thomas Rawls are going to be sharing the snaps, basically, as the joint starters. That seems very strange because, I mean, we've not seen anything from Rawls this preseason, but Lacey's not provided much either in what he's done. One or two nice runs in that Chiefs game, maybe one run early on, first run of the game, but apart from that, it's not a lot.
Yeah, and he looks admirably slow on Madden as well, which I played the game yesterday of. So at least Madden got that right. But moving on with all the talk of Curse, we are going to now have hazard a guess at the 53-man roster. And to do that, we are joined by one of the guys from the Seahawkers podcast, joining us at the very early time over the other side of the Atlantic. Brandon, how are we, sir?
I am well, gentlemen. How are you?
Excellent. Not too.
Yeah. Yes. We're almost there. We're almost there.
So before we jump into 53, what are your thoughts on all the Curse talk?
Well, when I heard people talking about this, and when Ross sent me a message the other day that you guys were going to be talking about Curse, everything that I heard made it sound like everybody was all fired up that Curse had already been traded. And then so I run to the web to find out where in the heck he's going. And it's just a report that they're trying to trade him. We went through this all off season with Richard Sherman, and now here it is with Jermaine Curse.
I think the thing with this one is that it come like a day after Cleveland tried to do it with Hayden, and they just give up and cut him. I think that's the thing I keep coming back to. That if they're trying to trade him at this point, that the hammer's going to come down on his roster spot pretty soon. Would you agree with that, or do you think it is just a case of?
Well, I thought, Kearse was a lock to make the roster, but yeah. when I saw that come out, the immediate thought that I had was that they've already tried to trade him and they didn't, because usually if the report's coming out that they're trying, it's already gone through the league and they've already, you know, made their attempts and now it's over. And so now they're going to have to decide what they're going to do. And to me, I thought it was going to be a hard decision to have to cut Amara Darboh, but this makes me think that they must really like Darboh, and they have to make a decision on whether or not, you know, there's kind of three or four guys for three spots, right? You have Kearse, you have Darboh, you have Kason Williams, you have Tanner McAvoy, and I get you could probably even throw Paul Richardson in there, and one of those five guys is going to have to get cut. And, you know, it's probably, I'm starting to think it's probably just going to be McAvoy then, if it comes down to that group, if it's up to me, because I would keep Kearse. I know there's all the people out there that are ready to get Kearse off this team.
Well, that's why Adam's not here. He's just super excited.
he's already throwing Kearse's going away party. Huh?
Yeah, he's Adam is currently scourging through all the bargain basement buckets for a Kearse knockoff jersey, I think. But yeah, as we said, it will be very strange. All the jokes, all the jabs that we've on this podcast we've thrown at him over the last year, because he was very poor last year. It will be quite
one
weird.
One bad year, guys. One bad year. You're ready to kick him off the team. I hope Russell Wilson doesn't have a bad year.
Well, in my opinion, Russell Wilson didn't have a great year last year either. But yeah, I think it will be quite weird to see number 15 not out there on the first snap of the game in 9 days' time, through all the jokes and all the jabs. But yeah, moving on, by Saturday, as Adam Schefter said, 32 NFL teams will release roughly 37 players per team.
Chaos.
Which equals 1,184 lost jobs. Up to 320 of them will revert to a practice squad, but for 864 people, it will be no more in the NFL. So the 53-man for the Seahawks has a few debates. Obviously, Jermaine Kearse deal cut or whatever happens with him will tell a lot from how that goes. We'll start, though, at quarterback, Russell Wilson and who, Brandon?
Oh, it's got to be Boykin.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Flip a coin. It doesn't matter after Russell Wilson. Neither of these guys are going to, you know, come in and win for a prolonged period. So you just have to hope that either one can come in. And really, Austin Davis probably has more of a background to know that he could come in and probably take care of the ball and help you keep in, you know, two or three games if Wilson has to come out. But I think the team is higher on Boykin. I think the upside's higher on Boykin. I think we know what we get with Austin Davis.
Yeah. So do you not see any way that they keep three this year, or do you think it's still going to be the standard two?
It's got to be the standard two. Yeah. We're talking about getting rid of Jermaine Kearse. We're not keeping
Kermas. Yeah, I'd agree. Russ?
Yeah, it's got to be Boykin. Like we said earlier, he's the only guy that mirrors Wilson. Davis has looked good in preseason, but Boykin's probably got more of an upside.
Yeah, Austin Davis is just what he is. He's more experienced, obviously that comes with it being more decisive and better decision making. But yeah, moving on to running backs, I've got five, including the fullback. So I've got Rules, Procise, Chris Carson, Eddie Lacy, Persh, and Trey Madden. Any disagreement with those five, Ross?
Only keeping Reese over Madden because I have a man crush on Marcel Reese. I thought it was very good last week, but last season. But Madden looked good in the preseason game against the Chiefs as well, though, so I can't really disagree too much on that. But yeah, the other four, they must be locks, aren't they? I think it's goodbye Alex Collins, and Mike Davis is going to find himself a job in the league, probably as a backup somewhere else, because he's done well for us.
Yeah, he'll be a very unlucky loser, I think, Mike Davis. Brandon?
My only difference is instead of Madden, I say we go no fullbacks into week one and we bring J.D. McKissic just as insurance for Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, because he's reverted back to a running back number as well, isn't he, McKissic?
And we saw against the Chiefs that he was kind of that the last back to come in and, yeah. and carry some yards. So it seems like where they see him.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe maybe CJ ProSize Insurance and Tyler Lockett Insurance, right?
Yeah. I'd agree there. Wide receiver, obviously this could also depend quite a bit, so we'll do it two ways. I've got six with Curse currently. Baldwin, Curse, Lockett, Richardson, Kaysen Williams, and Darbo. Brandon, with Curse?
That's mine too. I said before the Curse news that I had McAvoy beating out Darbo, but with the Curse news, I'm revising it to say that they keep Darbo over McAvoy.
Yeah. Russ?
Yeah, I have to agree. As much as that means we're going to cut Tanner McAvoy, I'm very sad about that.
Yeah.
If Curse is cut, then I can see McAvoy maybe sneaking on there as well, but it doesn't look like a explosive six. If then it just looks like a lot of pressure on Doug Baldwin.
Yeah. So obviously another guy left out there is David Moore as a draft pick. Brandon, he'll be someone they could probably sneak onto the practice squad, wouldn't he? Bulk up a bit and get his sea legs under him, kind of thing.
Yeah, David Moore, Cyril Grayson, those might be the two guys that end up going practice squad.
Yeah.
Top cut completely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
McAvoy will get picked up by the Bills or Browns or somewhere and go and
yeah.
and we'll be sad.
49ers.
Watch him on another team.
Yeah. Tight end, this is possibly the easiest, after quarterback, the easiest position to decide. It's going to be three, isn't it? Jimmy, Luke, and Nick. Russ?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Vinnett needs to show something this season, though.
Yeah. O-line, I've got nine, Brandon. How many do you see us keep him?
I would say eight or nine. There's a little bit of a question of flexibility, depending on what they decide to do with fullback and receiver. But, let's go with nine.
Yeah, so I've got Jokel, Odhiambo, Britt, Ifedi, Glowinski, Posic, Roos, Ibushi, and Tobin. Any disagreements there?
I've got Joey Hunt over Jordan Roos, but I'm not actually sure why I've kept Joey Hunt at the minute. Because we've got Posic as well. We don't really need Hunt, do we?
Yeah, no, Posic was the second centre, and it wasn't he last week as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brandon, any difference there?
The only thing I could see them doing is because of the McKissick spot and with the fullback, them going with eight linemen initially and maybe trying to put Roos on the practice squad. But
yeah,
those are my same guys, with Roos kind of being the bubble guy.
Yeah. Defensive line, Brandon, who and how many?
Oh, I think we went almost 10 defensive linemen because we couldn't make a decision on linebackers. So you have your standard guy. Run down the list of guys who we know won't be cut, and I'll tell you who I think the bubble guys are.
Bennett, Clark, Averill, Rubin, Reed, Jones.
Marsh.
Yeah, you put Marsh on there, Stu. Come on. Marsh is right here.
Yeah, I think they're definitely making the roster, and I think Jefferson as well, and probably David Bass will be the two others, I think, who'll get on.
Yeah, the question is Garrison Smith and whether or not he makes it. He seems like a bubble guy to me. David Bass is a bubble guy, but I think he showed enough in preseason that, you know, he could be another guy. But my surprise cut, if we're going to have a surprise cut of a veteran on this team, it might be Ataba Rubin. Mm. And then that would make room for Garrison Smith, I think. Anybody else we're forgetting, guys?
Yeah. I think they seem to be.
Quentin Jefferson. Oh, yeah. The Quentin Jefferson's maybe a bubble guy, but I think we put him on, right?
I think they do seem to be going after a defensive tackle, according to, I think, John Clayton said that they're after one in the trade. So that could be something to watch with Rubin. But I think if all the veterans, established guys, I think Rubin could be the one on it. Cassius Marsh, not too sure, Ross, sorry. But also if Cassius Marsh and Tanner McAvoy are cut on Saturday, Ross, we're doing a podcast Sunday morning.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Just
generally, what I'm
going to
do.
linebacker, I've got five. Wagner, Wright, Will Hoyt, Garvin, and Marcus Smith. Ross?
I've got six of mine. Wagner, Wright, Garvin, Will Hoyt, Alexander, and McDonald.
Okay. Brandon?
Yeah, I think the first three guys, with Wagner, Wagner, Wright, and Will Hoyt, those are the three guys. And then after that, it seems like everybody has disagreement. We have so many linebackers. So I'm going to say DJ Alexander, and I'm going to go Mike Morgan.
And Alexander and Morgan will be big teamers as well, won't they? Special teams.
Yeah, and that's kind of what makes it for me. But Marcus Smith, he's the other guy, right?
Yeah, I can see him making this over someone like.
I can see him making it too.
Yeah. Safety, they've got five for me: Earl Thomas, Chancellor, Hill, Bradley McDougal, and Tedrick Thompson. Brandon?
Yeah, I think I have to cut Tedrick Thompson.
Yeah, he hasn't really looked the part, has he?
I don't want to, but it's we always have these a tough time picking guys in the LOB, and Thompson just hasn't shown much in the preseason, has he?
No. So does that mean you'd keep four then, Roger, or is there someone else in place of?
No, that would be four there. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, Ross.
Yeah, four for me. It's a shame for Thompson because his draft call alone was one of the best ones we ever heard, but.
Yeah.
Picking up McDougal was a really shrewd bit of business to really solidify what was already the best in the league group. So, yeah, and Hill makes it as well.
Yeah, I did my fantasy draft yesterday. When I was trying to get an IDP, McDougal was one of the top point scorers last year in fantasy. What a 1 year, was it $2 million deal or something? It's a bit of a steal. Cornerback, I've got keeper six, Sherman, Pierre Desir, Jeremy Lane, Shaq Griffin, Nico Thorpe, and I've gone for Tremaine Brock, although I do hope DeAndre Elliott beats him out. Russ?
Yeah, I've got six as well. Unfortunately, Brock's in mine as well. Sherman, Brock, Lane, Griffin, Thorpe, and DeAndre Elliott, because he's a good special teams guy as well.
Yeah. Brandon?
I'm going to agree with you guys on this one. Pierre Desir is the interesting one to me, and whether or not he kind of takes Brock's spot. We haven't seen enough of Brock to really make a decision, I think, through the last game. Maybe that's what one of those things to watch coming up against the Raiders.
Yeah, and obviously the special teams three, Walsh, Tyler Ott, and John Ryan, has been set for about a month now, isn't it, Brandon?
Oh, yeah. Those guys are all locks.
Even
Blair Walsh. Let's give some credit to Walsh, huh?
Yeah. I'm fully on the Blair Walsh experience now.
He's even added in trolling the opposite sideline. It's always.
No, that's what won me over.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's only missed one field goal, and that hit the bar, didn't it? I think. Is that the one anyone he's missed?
Hit the upright, didn't he? Yeah.
He missed the second one, too, and got a mulligan. And I think that might have hit the right bar.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Obviously, that was a really quick run through the 53. Obviously, decision making is possibly going to be tougher on Schneider and all that. So, who do you think will be the biggest surprise, Kurt, Brandon?
I think it would be Ataba Rubin. I think he has in terms of the salary and production in the preseason. That would be the one guy. And then Tedrick Thompson, I think, would be the other one, being such a high draft pick. Or I would have said Darbo before, but yeah, with the curse news, he's kind of one that I'm watching to see if they cut to.
Yeah, I think for me it would be Tremaine Brock or Tedrick Thompson, just for Brock, just of how much money they've given to him, although it's all like guarantees and he doesn't get any if he's cut and all that. But I think Brock and Thompson will be the two biggest ones for me. Russ?
Kind of any of the guys that you've already mentioned. Ruben would be a real surprise to me, because I kind of thought he's guaranteed as that nose tackle guy, but yeah, he doesn't make a lot of plays. He's a very solid player, but he's infinitely replaceable with other guys that we've already got as well. So yeah, he could see his papers.
And Marsh, right, Ross?
Should be starting.
I'm sorry.
he's just stuck behind a really good defensive line. That's a problem for him. But I think he's a good rotation player.
He had a good preseason
and
too.
He gave us a good last season as well.
Yes.
Yeah, and Bennett and Averill have been big on how improved he's looked, obviously, with all the work he's put in. So he's making the team. It just will be interesting to see how much work he does get. What is it? Is his fourth year now? Is this his fourth season?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, this is going to be the last season of the Seahawks.
Yeah, contract year.
Yeah, so he's going to need if not for Seattle, he's going to have to put something on the table for one of the other 31. Brandon, just quickly, what any thoughts and expectations from the game tonight, or is it just a case of get the starters in and out as quick as possible, then let the bubble guys?
I'm not even sure if I'm not even sure if you played the starters apart from the offensive line, I guess. Yeah. And we're going to see the offensive line without Jokel at left guard, so we'll see Glowinski and Ibushi both on the starting offensive line, it sounds like, against the Raiders. And other than that, you know, watching some of the defensive backs and seeing how that shakes out, I don't expect the starters to be in there much. Are you guys even going to watch this game? Isn't this going to be like in the middle of the night your time?
Yeah, 3 a.m. in the morning it starts.
Yeah, so, for the fourth preseason game. Yeah. You guys catch that on Game Pass after.
Yeah.
I've listened to the last two because I've been at work, so it's been all right, apart from to listen to Warren Moon. But yeah, I'm not staying up especially to listen to this.
No.
But yeah, obviously, then all the season, all the action kicks off next week. Obviously, 10 days out. What are your early thoughts for the Packers game, Brandon? I'm a bit anxious. I'm not too. I'm starting to circle this down as a big owl, I think. Oh,
nice. Well, the problem with the Packers is we haven't won there since Mike Holmgren was the coach. So it's hard to get super fired up, but I think it's time. I think it's time to break the losing streak at Lambeau. And the one question I'd have, though, is the Packers have kind of been notorious for getting off to slow starts. But then again, so have we. So this could be an interestingly competitive game based on what we've seen from Russell Wilson early on. It looks like he's ready to go. But at the same time, Aaron Rodgers, looking at him in the preseason, he looks like same old Aaron Rodgers, too. So it's I don't know. It's probably just going to be a close game.
Yeah, it's gonna be possibly the game of the non-primetime games as well, I think. Just because we don't really know what their defense is gonna look like. Obviously they got Kevin King and they added someone else who I can't remember right now. But yeah, their defense is a bit of a, they signed Ahmad Brooks a couple of days ago, so you're not too sure how that defense is gonna look. But that offense is just, they've added Martellus Bennett and Jared Cook to that and just give Aaron Rodgers more weapons, which just seems unfair at a certain point. But yeah, where can
the one good thing though is that the pass rush doesn't scare me, and knowing that the our questions on the offensive line, you know, we're kind of crossing our fingers for an average to below average offensive line, and I think against the Packers it could hold up well, which is why I think that's going to help us be competitive in that game. We're going to win that game. I mean, it's just a question if we're going to go 16-0 this year or 15-1, and after we get by the Packers, it's just going to be smooth sailing.
Yeah. The schedule looks a lot friendlier now than it did when it first came out at the end of April, I think. So there's also a lot of talk that Wilson could be on for an MVP year. If you were a better man, I don't know if you are a better man, would you stake a bet on Wilson's MVP?
After what I've seen in the preseason, yeah, that would. I think that's a worthwhile bet.
Yeah, it's payday for me tomorrow, and that's the first thing I'm doing with my bet is putting some.
What are the odds on that? Well,
14, I think he is 14 to 1. So I don't know what.
12 to 1, third favorite. Rodgers and Brady. See it.
It's moved up, I bet.
Yeah, I think that has. Yeah. But yeah, so obviously the Seahawkers podcast, where can people find that and obviously find yourself on all social media platforms, Brandon?
Yeah, Seahawkerspodcast.com. You can download an app, whether you've got iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, right from the site there. Or you can find us on social media at Seahawkerspod and Facebook.com/Seahawkerspodcast.
Cool. Massively appreciate you waking up in the early hours for you over there and joining us to chat Jermaine Curse and 53. Enjoy the preseason game tonight if you bother to watch it.
And eventually.
Yeah, and hopefully see you in New York in about 2 months' time as well.
Yes, we booked our plane tickets already, so we're locked in.
Yeah, I really cannot wait to get over there and see a game in a very cold stadium, I'm expecting. But yeah, Ross, where can people catch our podcast and all those three?
The Pedestrian Podcast.podbean.com is with where you want to get if you've got one, just get the MP3. If you get it from iTunes, please leave us a rate and review and be sure to subscribe. If you subscribe to the podcast, that's what gets us more visibility on iTunes. But yeah, rates and reviews are also really handy. Patreon.com/thepedestrianpodcast. That's always good if you want to just help us out with running costs and putting prizes and things together for the season. That would be good. And you can also get us on Twitter at SeahawkersUK.
Cool, and obviously myself, personal, is at @Stu_Court. Ross is at @RossBow1984. And Adam is at @AdamDeanNathan, which is possibly just a site of celebration today. not too sure, obviously. I think Spurs might be signing Vincent Janssen, so I think he might be even... It's just a double whammy the last 24 hours for Adam. And he ruined my fantasy plans as well yesterday, so all in all, pretty good, solid 24 hours. He's had a good day, I think. But yeah, until next time, this has been the Pedestrian Podcast. Massive thank you once again to Brandon for jumping on with us. Ross?
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
That is going to do it. 12, they're bringing the trophy home. Your Seahawks, Super Bowl 48 champions.